And welcome back. The Missouri History Museum has been without a president since last December when longtime President Bob Archibald stepped down under fire for a controversial land deal. Last Friday, the museum board named former Emerson executive Bob Cox as interim president. Bob Cox has been active in philanthropic and community organizations here, as well as with Emerson's charitable giving and community affairs programs. We welcome Bob Cox to our studios. Nice to see you again, Bob.
Thank you, Don.
I should mention that you and I go back a couple of years, and your wife and my wife were good buddies. So I was happy to see that you're not actually going into retirement, but busier than ever, probably.
That's right. This opportunity came along, and it's something you can't pass up.
Yeah. Did you hear any of our discussion with Aaron Buddy?
Briefly.
Yeah.
But I attended her kickoff earlier this week, and what an exciting time for St. Louis.
It absolutely is, and the museum is going to be right in the middle of it.
Right.
We had a call come in very late just as she was leaving. I'd like to take that call because I think it's relevant to the conversation we had and some of the things that we can talk about. So let's bring in Marilyn calling from St. Louis. Marilyn, go ahead.
Yes, Don. I am a member of I'm an associate of the Sisters of St. Joseph who have been in St. Louis at Carondelet since for 200 years and have had certainly a lot of influence among the Catholic community here in St. Louis. And I was wondering if people like that, religious orders and people who have had that kind of an influence, will be invited to be part of the 250th birthday. I see it as a very relevant, I think of our sisters as sort of part of the founding mothers of the city.
Well, Marilyn, you know, I'm so glad you called. I wish Erin were still here, but I would certainly suggest that you get in touch with her. She gave the website address a couple of times, and I would have to believe that the religious community will certainly very much be a part of what's going to be happening in 2014. But get in touch with STL 250 and make sure that your voice is heard.
Okay, is that .org?
Yes, I believe it is. If not, hang on to the phone. We'll have that corrected by someone in the other room, okay?
Okay, thank you.
But
so
thank
much.
You for calling. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry to interrupt our conversation with that, Bob, but I could tell from our computer sampling here that that was something we wanted to address. Well, you've already started on the job.
I've been on the job for 3 days.
Uh-huh.
Well, I feel like I'm drinking through a fire hose.
Well, what are the challenges you face? It's an interim capacity through the end of the year, as I understand it.
Well, the charge I've been given by John Roberts, who chairs the trustees, is to get the organization in apple pie order so when the new guy comes in, he can hit the ground running and do the things that needs to be done from a strategic and policy perspective.
How I don't want to dwell on this, but I'm sure it's on people's minds that the incident at the end of the year that cost Bob Archibald his job is still very much fresh in people's minds. What does that mean for you? Are there threads that have to be tied or pieces that have to be reassembled?
Well, you know, before I committed to take the job, I had to do my due diligence, and I had some concerns based on what I had read in the paper. And as a part of doing that due diligence, I know with the private public partnership agreement that Senator Danforth was instrumental in putting together, those issues were addressed. So they're behind us. Now it's just basically following that agreement to the letter as we move forward.
What are the basics of that agreement?
Well, the basics that had to do, you mentioned the property purchase, and today the institution cannot buy or sell property without a complete appraisal. And then secondly, there was issues associated with compensation, and the organization is hiring a national compensation consultant to make sure that salary survey guidelines are followed in determining the compensation of the CEO. And then lastly, I guess there was some controversy associated with the commitment for the trolley project in the Del Mar Loop, and that has been addressed. So those three major issues are kind of behind the institution at this point in time.
I would guess amongst the staff members over there that this whole thing was kind of like a slap in the face. Is morale okay? Are the folks who are working there in good shape?
Actually, I can't say more favorable things about the immediate staff. I mean, these are very professional people. totally dedicated to the institution, very proud of the institution, very proud of the jobs they do, wonderful people to work with. Obviously, the reputation of the institution has been tarnished a little bit, and we'll work over the next 6 to 9 months to try to buff that up and give them the credit that they really deserve for the jobs they do.
How do you go about that idea of putting a new shine on the image?
Well, I think it's just basically to communicate to the community the very fine things that the institution does, and expose the key members of management to the community, and let the community make that decision, as opposed to telling the community what the answer is.
What about the challenges that you see immediately? I mean, getting away from the morale factor and the Archibald factor, you've got to run a pretty classy institution for the next 6 months.
Well, and it is a classy institution. One thing that I can say with certainty after spending 3 days there, that this organization and this museum is world class. I mean, you compare their statistics with history museums in New York City and in Chicago and Pittsburgh and other locales. I mean, we're second to none. It's amazing what's been done there particularly over the last 25 years. Mm-hmm. The institution and the organization that Dr. Archibald built is really second to none. So I'm going to focus a lot on my background and strength, which is administration and helping John Roberts with governance associated with the organization, so that we can really focus our committee work on where those committee members' expertise lies, so that when the board convenes, they can deal with strategy and policy and the things to move the organization forward for the next 10 to 25 years.
Well, you don't come into this job totally unaware of the Missouri History Museum, because during your work with Emerson, you worked fairly closely with him, did you not?
Well, Emerson was a very, very strong supporter. Actually, I was not in St. Louis when they made the major commitment for the Emerson end of the museum, which was in the late 80s and early 90s. But I certainly was involved with the Lewis and Clark expedition. We were kind of the title sponsor. I saw that project. And then I've had some conversations in my role at Emerson in terms of charitable giving and community relations with the digitization project that's ongoing at the museum, that's a part of the current capital campaign that's on hold. And hopefully, as we work over the next 6 to 9 months, we'll clear those issues and that campaign will resume, and we'll be able to devote dollars to digitizing the museum.
How does your work at Emerson help you, I assume it does, in coming into this job, which is a totally different kind of thing?
Well, you know, I saw the organization from the other side of the table, and there were meetings that I had with Dr. Archibald and some of his key staff where they were, you know, asking for Emerson money or Emerson in-kind donations to help with certain projects in the museum. So I have a pretty good understanding of the finances of the organization, the strengths of the organization, and what they really can do. And hopefully we'll get that back on track.
I want to invite our listeners to come into this conversation. I guess the question that they might want to know is what they would like to see from the History Museum, not only in the next 6 months, but the next 6 years or 60 years, whatever. 382-8255 is the number. That's 382-TALK. You can also send us an email, of course, at talk@stlpublicradio.org. We'll take a tweet at STL on air. And we were talking with Bob Cox, the interim president of the Missouri History Museum. What would you like to see happen during this interim period and beyond? Now, if I can take just another interruption, Bob, for our conversation, because I have to correct something that I said earlier on when I was talking about our own birthday bash, which is happening this weekend. I said it was on Sunday. It's actually happening on Saturday, so my apologies for having made that error. And also, we have a response already to Marilyn, who called a little bit a while ago, wondering about the religious component of the celebrations that are going to be going on next year. And we caught up with Erin Buddy of STL 250 before she walked out the door, and she said there is a meeting planned with local representatives of major religious organizations in the coming days. So just as we suspected, the religious community is not going to be kept out of this conversation about how to observe 2014 here in St. Louis. You're getting out of your job just before the celebrating begins.
Well, that may be true. It may not be so true. I think, the plan is that my job will get finished about the end of this year, but there's a possibility it might extend. And hopefully, even if it doesn't extend, I'm going to really be a major participant in St. Louis' 250th birthday.
Yeah, I think we all will be. It sounds like quite a year ahead for us. How is the search going? Can you give us any sense as to where it is?
Well, I'm really not directly involved. I know you had Jim Buford on earlier. He's part of the search committee. I think they've got a nice group of people that are trustees, commissioners, and community people like Jim. They've gone through a process where they've selected a national consultant, and they're in the process of negotiating the fee, and then that work will commence to go out nationally and search and find the right person.
I can't imagine there are a whole lot of people out there with the qualifications necessary to run an institution like our Missouri History Museum.
Well, the people on the staff, they think that there'll be an abundance of people that'll want this job because it's a special job. Like I said, it's a world-class museum, so there'll be a lot of interest.
Oh, I'm sure that there are a lot of people who want the job. The question is how many out there are really qualified to run that kind of an institution. Let's take some calls. Bob Cox, you ready for that? We'll start with Mike calling from North St. Louis. Mike, thanks so much for being with us. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Good morning. I was listening to the person, the interim person at the History Museum. I'll make this, try to make it short. But being from the north side of St. Louis, and I'm 63 years old, so I'm quite familiar with Forest Park. But I want to say the special connection that Bob Archibald had, not to get into political things, between North St. Louis, really just African Americans in general, have brought to this History Museum. It's something that I've never seen in my lifetime here, and I'm 63 years old. And, I mean, it just from the hand of Don Johnson. So I hope that a person that they do go out to seek to lead this place, I hope they realize the uniqueness that it has with the African-American community. All they have to do is maybe, get an American, some of the black newspapers in St. Louis. But I'm saying the History Museum, it is unique, and it's a beautiful place, and we feel comfortable going there. That's something that's unheard of, and I go there quite a bit to various things that they have. So I just hope that the person they pull, I hope they understand the city itself, not only being qualified to run that museum, because that's what you're going to need. Thank you.
Well, Mike, thanks for your call. I know that with my relationship with Dr. Archibald over the years that he was probably one of the foremost spokesmen for the community in terms of improving race relations in the community. And I mentioned the quality of the staff that exists at the History Museum. It's a very diverse staff, and we're certainly not going to lose that focus going forward.
He mentioned Don Johnson, which is a former colleague of mine at Channel 2. He was the communications director for Dr. Archibald for a number of years before he retired. And Don Johnson, African-American, and I know that Bob Archibald paid a lot of attention to such things.
It's good.
Take another call. Justin in St. Louis, it's your turn. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm actually standing on the Bolivar looking at the History Museum about three blocks away, and I'm just curious. Love all of the museums here in St. Louis, and I would put the zoo and the Science Center and all of those things in that same category. But it always seems like when I go to the History Museum, I'm in and out of there in half the time or less than I would spend at the Art Museum or any of the other larger institutions. And I heard you say it was world-class, but it just seems, in comparison to other facilities here in St. Louis, to be somewhat lacking or small. Not at all to say that I've ever been disappointed with any exhibit or anything. Everything's always wonderful. It's just I would like to see a lot more wonderful. And so I'm curious, are there any plans to expand? And where are some – the screener asked me where I would like to see it expand, and I would actually like to know where you – I'm going to turn that back on you guys. Where would you like to see it expand? What – us being such a young country, what areas would you cover And where, what direction would you go with expansion and adding more exhibits and more things?
Well, Justin, I would ask you this question. You say you're in and out very quickly, but I'd also ask if you visited the Library Resource Center over on Skinker, which is really the second Missouri History Museum building. I had the opportunity to be there yesterday. The collections that exist at that facility and the research that you could undertake about the history of the community are just unbelievable. As an example, you know, we've had this solar impulse aircraft in the community, and they came for lunch at the History Museum yesterday, and we'd planned to take them over to the LRC to view the Charles Lindbergh collection. Well, because of their tight schedule and their program last night, they didn't get that opportunity. Hopefully this weekend they are going to get that opportunity, because I think their flight has been delayed to Washington, D.C., so they'll be here for a period of time and we'll get them over there. But I nevertheless went to the LRC to view the Lindbergh collection, and I was just awed by some of the artifacts that I saw. So if you're in and out of the main building very quickly, I encourage you to visit the Library Resource Center over on Skinker, because I'll assure you, if you really take it all in, you're not going to be in and out very quickly.
Yeah, you can be in and out of any building very quickly if you choose to do it that way. In terms of expansion, physical expansion, is there really any room? I mean, obviously you're in Forest Park, but you can't just build out into the park.
No, there is really no room to expand at the current location. Basically, with the addition that was put on in the late 80s and early 90s, I think we've consumed our opportunity at that site. So it would have to be at another location in close proximity.
I know you've only been on the job for a couple of days, but do you have any sense for how long it takes to set up some of these fine exhibits that that come and go?
Well, we're working on the one for 2014, and hopefully that's going to be unveiled on Valentine's Day. But there's been some work going on for perhaps 6 months, so it takes a lot of time to plan that. You know, St. Louis 250, they're going to focus on 50 people. 50 of different things, so there'll be 250 different points of focus. And of course, there's a tremendous amount of debate within the organization as to what's in and what's out, and that's still to be determined. But a lot of planning go into to these exhibits, particularly the ones that aren't traveling exhibits that are actually produced locally.
Yeah. Getting back to the expansion idea, we started talking about Bob Archibald and the problems he had with buying some land. Does the museum own that land still? Or
it's there. It's not being used, but it's owned by the museum.
But it could be if that were so decided.
Yes.
We don't have a whole lot of time left, Bob Cox, but in the time that you're going to be there, just a couple of months, can you put your prints on this museum in 6 months in such a way that it will be really meaningful?
Well, I think yes. I said I would be focusing to help John Roberts on the governance aspects, yeah, in terms of the way we organize the board committee, so that the full board can work on policy and strategy. I do. That was one of the strong suits at Emerson, mm-hmm, and I was involved in that. I learned a lot. I had two very, very strong CEOs that really understood how important the board leadership was. And hopefully some of that's going to rub off.
When you talk about governance, what precisely do you mean?
Well, I'm talking about the 8 or 10 committees that exist within the organization, so that they can really conduct their business and report to the full board based upon their areas of expertise, and then the board can just focus on the future of the museum, on what it's going to look like in 10 to 25 years down the road.
Well, we can, judge from the conversation that the more immediate past is just about behind us now, and that instead of looking back, you folks are going to start looking forward.
Right.
Right. And you'll be playing a big role in our 250th anniversary next year.
We will be.
Bob Cox, any final thought you want to leave us with?
If for those listeners out there that haven't made it over and visited the History Museum, please come by, because I think you'll be very impressed with what you see, particularly at the LRC,
yeah,
where there's some great collections, St. Louis history that's being preserved. for future generations. It's really, really impressive. The fellow that was with me at the LRC yesterday, who is he's a pilot, he's an aviation historian. He remarked about what some of the Charles Lindbergh materials. He says, "I take a quote from Jack Buck. He says, I cannot believe what I just saw."
Right. Hey, come to the museum and stay as long as you want. You don't have to come and go, as one of our callers suggested. Bob Cox, we've got to end it there. Thanks so much for being with us. Nice to see you again, and hope you have great success during your tenure at the museum.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Join Steve Potter tomorrow for Cityscape when he'll talk with Mike Isaacson as the Muni gears up for another season with the directors of the Missouri Chamber Music Festival and with participants in the second St. Louis Fringe Festival. Monday on St. Louis on the Air, we'll take a look at a new report showing that St. Louis is a hotbed for scientific research. Archived versions of past St. Louis on the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org. The program is produced by Mary Edwards and Alex Hoyer, with production assistance from Aaron Dorr, Hannah Dunham, and Spencer Reed. Executive producers, Robert Peterson. Thanks so much for being with us. I'm Don Marsh.